Well, good evening, Bob, Doug, family, friends. How good it is to give thanks to our God for the testimony that Nancy McElfresh had with us for so many years in so many different contexts, all to the glory of our God. We are here to give thanksgiving for that testimony this night in Jesus' name. So with that, please rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to be gathered here this night to remember one who is so dear, Lord, to so many in different places and over so long a time. Father, we thank you for your watch care over Nancy, your blessings upon her and through her to so many. And Father, how good it is to give you glory as we know that her pilgrimage is ended and that she is home. We thank you that Jesus Christ is indeed the Prince of Peace. And we thank you for the comfort that only he can bring. Father, we thank you that indeed his Holy Spirit is here. And we thank you that by your word and by your spirit, indeed, the comfort that comes from our Lord, who has gone to the cross to save us, who has risen again. We thank you that we can grieve truly in the name of our Lord who wept as he heard about a loved one, even Lazarus who died. But Father, we grieve as those with hope, the eternal hope of heaven and glory. Thank you that Nancy is home with our Lord. And thank you that one day we, with our faith in him alone, will be there too. Thank you as we ask your blessings upon our time together. May it be to the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your hymnals to number 706 as we sing, "Jesus Lives and So Shall I," 706 in your hymnals.
Jesus lives and so shall I, death thy sting is gone forever. Bands of death to sever. He shall raise me from the dust. Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives and reigns supreme, and his kingdom still remains. I shall also be with him, ever living, ever reigning. God has promised me it thus, Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives and by his victory o'er my passion giving. I will cleanse my heart and ways, ever to his glory living. Me he raises from the dust. Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives, I know full well, not from him my heart can sever. Life nor death nor powers of hell, joy nor grief henceforth forever. None of all his saints is lost. Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives and death is now. crown of life before thee. Thou shalt find thy hopes were just. Jesus is the Christian's trust.
In your pew Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll be reading verses 50 through 58. The good news of Christ's victory over sin and all its wages, even death itself, proclaimed boldly by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Turn in your hymnals to number 461 as we sing Not What My Hands Have Done, 461 in your hymnals.
Each thought upon me.
Please be seated. And it is a blessing to get to know so many of you who have known Nancy for such a long time and such a fruitful life to the glory of God. But as a church family, it has only been within the last year that we have had the blessing to get to meet and know Nancy and Bob both. And so it is good for us to share just some remembrances of Nancy from the church family, as indeed we have seen evidence of God's blessing upon her through her entire life. And so first we're going to have Matt Avery. He's a deacon here at Providence. He will come and share with us, and then Marcia Huff will come and share as well. Thank you.
I want to tell you about my last conversation with Nancy before she went to home to be with the Lord. Bob and I had gone to visit her in the hospital, and we were visiting with her and having some conversation. We probably discussed your dogs a little bit. And after a time, she asked Bob to go down to the gift shop to buy some candy, but not for her or Bob, but for the nurses that were caring for her. Which I thought was very sweet. And then I realized, oh, wait, she's a nurse, so she's going to really appreciate, you know, she'll know that they'll appreciate this. And as Bob left, I stayed with her, and we began talking, and almost immediately she broke into tears as she was talking to me. I'm going to relate the second thing that she said first. Sort of after she had gotten over the tears, she did relate to me. I mean, all of you know, I think most of you know, that she worked very hard. And she may have even ended up in the hospital after this heart surgery because of working too hard. And I related to her that her loved ones, her church family, were all encouraging her to back off and take a break or slow down and live life. And she acknowledged that, and she was in complete agreement with that. And I think that that is a part of the sanctifying work of God in our lives, that, you know, sometimes we do need to hit a bump before we'll kind of listen to the things that God is telling us through our loved ones, through people who are around us. And I think that she would want people to know that she had her friends and her family to know that she had listened to them. Maybe it took an extra stay in the hospital to kind of drive it home in God's providence, but she was planning to seek more balance in her life. That's the second thing that she said to me. The first thing that she said to me was that she was very excited about Providence Church, that she was looking forward to taking membership classes, that she was excited about Bob attending church with her after being away from church for many, many years. She said that she had seen changes in Bob since he started attending church. And that was the first thing that she said. And she was saying it. She had broken down in tears when she and saying it to me through tears. But there were tears of joy of how happy she was about the church. And I think, you know, maybe I was the one to say it too, because I'm a deacon. I greet everyone. I was kind of joking around with Pastor Smiley earlier and saying, well, I didn't know Nancy that well. I've only hugged her a few dozen times, you know, because I hug the gals when they come into church. That was important to her. The church was important to her. She was looking forward to joining the church. And now, of course, she is in glory, and her sanctification is complete. And the rest of us are still being worked on. And so, Lord, we just ask for Lord's grace in that. And we're thankful to remember Nancy's testimony in that.
I'm glad that you all came. I know that would be so important to Nancy. You know we'll all miss her. And as I'm thinking about missing her, I'm remembering when we first met. Bob and I both worked at Sweet Bay. He is a bagger and I is cake decorator. And he was very anxious to introduce Nancy to me. And so when she came into shop one time, he did bring her back to the bakery and we met. But when we became friends was one time when I was talking about going on vacation, and Bob's like, "Well, who's going to take care of your dog?" And I said, "Well, I don't know yet. I don't have any trouble with the bird. The bird's no problem, but Lulu isn't housebroken yet. She's a puppy." He said, "Well, let me talk to Nancy. And maybe we can keep her." So Nancy agreed, and that was the beginning, really, of our friendship, because they kept my dog and my bird whenever I went on vacation. When I got burned badly at work, I had third-degree burns, and so the puppy, who was still very jovial and jumping, stayed with Nancy and Bob for about a month. And then when I was better and almost better enough to go back to work, Carol Warchek and I went to Las Vegas, and Lulu and Aladdin went to Bob's puppy camp again. And so it was really nice to be able to have them stay with Nancy and Bob. I never had to worry about them because they have such love for their own dogs and Bob for his birds. I never had to worry. And I could call and say, "Hey, how are my dogs doing?" And Nancy and Bob were glad to communicate that they were fine and that they were all playing together. So that was the real start of our friendship. So Nancy and I have a lot of other things in common too. We both collect dolls. Nancy likes Indian dolls, and I have some Indian dolls also. And we both like country music. And so when we were in the car together, we were listening to Willie's Roadhouse, and we had some nice dinners together, and one of the buffets here in town kind of became our place, and Laurel from church went with us, and it was nice, the four of us enjoyed dinner together. So Nancy loved children a lot too. She really loved children, and she was looking very, very much forward to when Cherish and Robert's children would be playing in the pool in the backyard. And she also loved them years ago because she adopted one family for Christmas, and maybe even before that, so that they would have some presents and enjoy their Christmas holiday. Well, of course, you know, as a nurse, she was a caring person. In November, when Bob was walking across the street and got hit by a car, he had to be bay-flighted to St. Petersburg. So Nancy would go to work and then come to my house And we would drive, I would drive the rest of the way over the bridge into St. Petersburg to check on Bob. And he was in a coma for 3 or 4 days. And at the time, the doctor told her there was nothing that he could really do right then, but that she would have to be very patient with him for the next 6 months. So he progressed from intensive care to the next unit, and he was there for a few days, and then he progressed to the next unit, and then seemed like all of a sudden they were saying he could come home. And of course we were worried, was he ready, you know? And Nancy said, it's okay. I'm going to take a week off from work, and I'll stay home with Bob, and I'll make sure that he's okay. And if he's not okay at the end of the week, then we'll work out something else. So that was another time that we spent quality time together, and it gave me a chance to give back some time for all the time that they had taken care of my pets. And of course, while Bob was in intensive care, we had to go down to the gift shop and see if we could find some kind of a stuffed animal chihuahua. And we were able to find one, and also importantly, a box of candy for the nurses. Nancy was always wanted just to give that extra little thanks to the nurses. So, Nancy wasn't really that fond of birds. She was kind of afraid of them. She had nothing to do with Bob's cockatiels at all. So, but he has a special room so that they're by the window and they're very happy. And when my bird Aladdin, before he even gets in the house, they start singing to each other. It's like, oh, my friend's here, you know, and they just start singing together. And Nancy became fond of him towards the end, because every night when she was sitting in the living room in the chair, Aladdin would sing a song to her. So he became special to her too. It's hard to say all the things that I'd like to say about Nancy. She was always very good-hearted to me. And even though we went through a lot of difficult times together, we enjoyed each other's friendship so much. And here is the prayer that I would like to read to you. She had this prayer, and I don't know where she got it, but I know that it was a favorite of hers, and it's called a Jesus Prayer. And it says, Heart of Jesus, think of me. Eyes of Jesus, look on me. Face of Jesus, comfort me. Hands of Jesus, bless me. Feet of Jesus, guide me. Arms of Jesus, hold me. Body of Jesus, feed me. Blood of Jesus, wash me. Jesus, make me thus thine own, here and in the world to come. Amen. And I thought that was very, very sweet of her to carry it in her purse, you know, and have it with her always. And I just hope that God will be with each of us in our grief. because we know that Nancy's with him now.
Well, turn in your hymnals to number 460, a hymn familiar to many of us, Amazing Grace. And let's stand and sing number 460, Amazing Grace. Please be seated. And turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to be reading verses 25 through 30 this evening. Words that apply very much to Nancy and very much to those of us who miss her. And as we grieve, it is good to hear the comfort of our Lord to those like Nancy and like ourselves. Matthew 11, we'll read verses 25 through 30. Let's hear these words as they are, thankfully, not the words of frail men, but the inspired word of the Almighty and Living God. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the rest that only you can give. And Father, we thank you for the pattern, Lord, of creating us to both labor to the glory of you as our God and to rest one day in seven on the Lord's day. And Father, thank you that that is a preparation for the rest without end. Father, thank you for the promise that Jesus keeps, that he gives us rest on this side of glory in his perfect timing. And thank you for the rest that is now Nancy's and will be ours in your timing. Lord, thank you that you take, Lord, all the toil, all the strain, Lord, all of the effects of the fall away from us forevermore. Thank you for the rest without end. And thank you that we rest face to face with our Lord in glory. Thank you that Nancy is there now. And Father, may we see Jesus, Lord, truly, not as clearly as Nancy does as she is home, but nonetheless, by your word and spirit, may we know Jesus as Nancy did, indeed as he truly is, fully God and fully man. Thank you that he has come, and thank you that he has taken the guilt of our sins away. Thank you that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Thank you that we worship and give you glory for Nancy's life as those who are free. In Christ Jesus our Lord, thank you for the gift of faith in him alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it is good on a night like tonight to run into the arms of our Heavenly Father as his children. It's very much at the heart of the text. It begins with us not having the burden of trying to be great or mighty in the Lord's eyes, but simply being little children and running to him in our spirit and indeed within our very souls. And in fact, if we could look at texts like in Luke, the parable of the prodigal son, in which Jesus is so clear, the Heavenly Father actually runs to us and wraps his arms around us and saves us. And that very much is Nancy's testimony. It is Bob's. It is many of yours. And it is good in this text to see the great love of our God. And we see that as thankfully salvation doesn't rest on us, but it rests on the Father and on the Son both, choosing to save us, choosing to reveal who he is, taking the scales off of our eyes like he did to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. And indeed, even as Nancy in these last hospital stays, she was so eager, and we were all so eager, especially you, Bob, and Doug, Linda, to see her get out of the hospital and to be healthy again. And she was so eager. And as you know of her work ethic, as we have heard testified to tonight, but again, for Nancy to see her in that hospital bed and to see her rest in Christ, very much in the lines of this text, it was a powerful, powerful testimony indeed. And it is, as we remember. And indeed, for her to rest and to be content in that hospital bed and to talk about, as we read within that prayer that Marcia has read, indeed, God's will be done. I am in the Father's hand, and there is no safer place to be. Within Nancy's faith, we need to unpack that a little bit more in terms of the words of our Lord. Jesus, notice that he gives us a contrast here. Again, these things are hidden from the wise and understanding, and they're revealed to little children. And what is revealed is these things. It's important to talk about these things, because these things were Nancy's. And indeed, to know Nancy truly, to praise God for who she was and who she is in glory, with her soul away from the body until Christ comes again, it is good to think upon these little things. And they're not little in terms of their magnitude. They're little in terms of how easy it is to be saved. Indeed, Jesus is exactly clear that, again, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. So let's turn to another text that explains these things, the simple gospel. If you have your Bibles open, turn to Luke 24, or you can just listen to the words as we're going to read verses 45 through 48. It's good to remember in the history of the church and indeed in our lives, the apostles were little children running to Jesus, no less than Nancy, no less than we. Again, the testimony is all the same. And hear the words of Jesus. Again, we'll start in verse 44 of Luke 24. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." Indeed, witnesses of these things. So that these things, and again you hear it here, the whole point of the Old Testament is the Old Testament was filled with people that strived, they worked so hard, indeed, to try to be righteous before God. And time again, their testimony was the exact same as Nancy's, the exact same as ours. It is impossible to perfectly keep the law of God. But like Nancy, within their failure to keep the law, within our failure to keep the law, their faith at the end of the day was not in themselves. It was in the promise that Messiah would one day come. And he would do exactly what Jesus explains here in Matthew 11 that he did. Again, that he made salvation easy. But again, he saved all the saints in the Old Testament. And indeed, he saved Nancy. He saved all of us who simply put their faith in Jesus. And then he talks about here what it is in terms of his going to the cross, his suffering, and dying on the third day. The first part of that, in terms of the little things, is again, why the cross? Again, if Jesus never sinned, why in the world would he go there? Why would he bear the wrath of the all-holy God upon himself on the cross? We need to remember the shame. This echoes back to the prophecies, all the way back in Deuteronomy. That again, the curse of God would be on the one who hung on the tree. But how could this be if Jesus never sinned? If he kept the law perfectly, all the Ten Commandments, why was he there? Of course, as Nancy knew, it was to take away the guilt of our sins. Again, he wasn't on the cross for any sins of his own. He had to suffer and die so that we could be saved. Jesus, the Son, had been with the Father from all eternity. But for sinners like ourselves to be born into sin, sons and daughters of Adam, to be with Jesus, to be with the Father in heaven where there is no sin, where all is perfect. Again, we would never get there on the righteousness of our own. We would get there exclusively through having the faith in the righteousness of Christ. And this is Jesus' point to his little children, the apostles, and indeed to Nancy and to all of us. It was a powerful, powerful testimony that Nancy had indeed. The simple gospel good news that Jesus lived a sinless life, that we have not. But again, that's why Jesus went to the cross, so that our faith could be in him, in him alone. He takes away our guilt. And then the miracle of the gospel, as our Father looks upon us. And again, that's why that language is so important, Father and Son. Because he is the Father of his only begotten Son, Jesus, we pray to him, indeed, as we are in relationship with him as his little children, with our faith in his Son alone. Let me ask you a question at this point. When you think of the miracles of Jesus, when you think of what he does, what is one of the first things that comes into your mind? He did raise people from the dead from time to time. Lazarus is one of those. But time and time again, we see a miracle that is so powerful. And again, Nancy spoke to this so vividly in terms of making a blind man see, giving sight to the blind. And again, the sight that really counts. Indeed, to be able to look upon Jesus, to hear the words on the page, and to be no less than the apostles who saw him face to face, to be witnesses of these things, of what Christ has done. And what a powerful testimony in the unity of a family that loves the Lord that Nancy indeed had mentioned both to Bob and as well to her brother Doug, that she would like when in God's timing it was time for her to go home, that again her eyes would be able to be in somebody else who could not see. And so indeed those eyes Nancy gave them to the glory of God. And there is someone now that sees physically because they have Nancy's eyes. What a beautiful testimony that is. And see, the importance of it is that Nancy's testimony was this. She didn't do that to earn the favor of God. She did that because she was thankful that she knew who God had blessed her to be, his little child. And so she did physically something that represents very powerfully and spiritually the power of our Lord to allow us to see in spite of the blindness that we are born into and indeed to look upon Christ and to be saved. Now, I had a vivid testimony of this, and it was so neither Bob or I knew that this would be the last time that we would see Nancy, the last time that Bob would see Nancy. But the day before she died, this was a week ago Monday, We went to the hospital, and indeed we were there together. And these were the last words from Psalm 91, again, that we read together and we prayed in Jesus' name. And the peace that Nancy and Bob both had, again, as they left on that day. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Powerful words indeed. And then Nancy went to sleep on her last night as one who was at peace with her God, one who was saved. What a powerful testimony it is to grieve again, to miss Nancy so much. Again, as we have said, it was only in the last 7 months that we had met her. But how powerful it is as she and Bob were looking forward to membership classes. Again, to praise God that while we miss Nancy, she sees the Lord far more clearly than, again, anything she ever would have learned in that membership class. She is now away from the body, and again, she is with Him face to face. Now, there's one other part of the text before we go on. Is again, Jesus talks about, again, those wise and understanding in contrast to the little children that we are blessed to be. And the wise and understanding doesn't mean those who are really wise and understanding. All wisdom comes from God. But again, those who are wise and understanding in their own eyes. And that brings us up to verses 20 through 24. And so let's hear these words that lead up to the verses that we are in verses 25 through 30. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. Again, those are powerful words, but here's the blessing. Again, Nancy had a powerful testimony of this. And those of you that worked with her, as one who had compassion, as we have heard in the testimonies tonight, and you could give many in terms of the compassion that Nancy had, the spirit of grace, the spirit of forgiveness. God takes care of the judgment of those who are hell-bound. And that is important to keep in mind. Nancy and Bob both. Indeed, many of you have had experiences with those. And remember who Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about those who are in the church. These cities were the sons and daughters, were full of sons and daughters of Israel. And there were those who claimed to be God's people that did horrible, horrible things, even as they were claiming to be God's people. And some of you know, in Bob and Nancy's testimony, they had been confronted with those that are described within these verses. And the blessing is that at the end of the day, as we go through a life in a fallen world with those who claim to follow the Lord, but whose actions betray them, who act selfishly for their own agendas and not at all for the glory of God, who do wrong instead of right and hide it as best they can, that thankfully the Lord deals with judging them. And again, what we are blessed to do is simply partake of the grace that God gives us. And that's what we in the church family here at Providence, that's what we were so blessed to see. That Bob and Nancy, with all that God had persevered them through and all of their trials, there were those who understood what it was to be forgiven in Jesus' name. And that mercy and that kindness, it was very, very vivid before our eyes. And again, many of you have seen a taste of this for many a year. We can go back to the prophet Micah, who wrote these words for hundreds of years before Jesus came. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And again, Nancy lived that out very powerfully in the workplace. And again, they lived that out both, Nancy and Bob, within our church family. They fit right in. And again, as we have heard this night, that idea of the Lord getting hold of us. And again, as we come to those speed bumps where He gets our attention, again, we come to the Lord as those who are broken. We're over ourselves. And again, we're trusting no longer in ourselves, but in another. And that brings us actually into more in the weeds in verses 26 and 27. We need to focus in on one word that encapsulates what Jesus is talking about here. The Father having His own. And having all those that He gives to the Son, and the Son choosing who He will reveal. Now, the Father, again, choosing us, what does that remind you of in the language of parenthood? It's a very, very important doctrine. And again, Doug and Nancy have a very, very powerful testimony in this regard. It's the language of adoption. And that is vital, vital language for us. Again, all of us, the Bible is clear, we're born into sin. We're sons and daughters of Adam. And again, it is a father who adoption by definition means that there is a better family that God has planned for us to choose us and to place us in. We need to look at just a couple of verses that speak about the love that God showers upon us, describing it perfectly in adoption. And as you leave this night in the narthex, there's a beautiful picture out there. I remember meeting Doug for the first time, and the thing that strikes you is how much Doug and Nancy looked alike. And it was a surprise to hear that they were both adopted. And again, that resemblance is a beautiful testimony. And as you are in the narthex out there, there was a picture taken right after Doug was adopted. And you see this brother and sister, and again, the smile on their faces, and again, the blessings that God gave them in their adopted family with a precious, precious heritage. As many of you know, Doug and Nancy's father served in World War II, and again, in service to our nation, was paralyzed in the last months of that war, and again, raised with a heritage of sacrifice and of honor passed down to his children, and a heritage that goes down through the generations, a powerful testimony indeed. But as we see that in our own testimonies, in terms of our own adoption spiritually in Jesus' name, we need to look at Romans chapter 8 and look at verses 15 through 17. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit again. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. And that's another beautiful promise that God gives us that is Nancy's. Now, those of you that knew Nancy the best, you knew how tired she was, indeed, in these recent months. And again, her testimony mirrors our own. It's only a question of when we're all there. Again, these bodies, again, they are weak. And again, they get tired. They get oh so tired. And as we hear that language in terms of suffering, provided that we suffer with Him in order that we may be glorified with Him. Glorification is clear that when Jesus comes back again, Nancy will have eyes to see, and she will not be weak or tired anymore. She will indeed rejoice, and we will all be again in these same bodies, but without weakness, without death forevermore. In the language of the Scriptures, our tears will be wiped away. We shall never cry. We shall never be sad ever again. Before we leave these verses within the text, again, that cry out, Abba, Father. And that Abba is simply the language of Father within Jesus' native tongue. It is the language, it means Father in the Aramaic. But again, within that blessing, oftentimes this verse is misunderstood. And the idea is that when we worship, and again, when times are very good, we cry out, Abba, Father. But the context of the text is very much about that suffering. It is in our weakest times that we are blessed as children who are hurting to cry, Abba, Father, in those times. A time like this, as we grieve, again, as those with the hope of Jesus Christ, and how good it is to be able to grieve again as children to our Father. And that brings us to verses 28 and 29. And again, we can all relate to these verses, being weary, heavy laden. And notice how Jesus describes this. Jesus describes, coming to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And again, the most important thing to take away from this is the fact that everybody, whether they recognize it or not, whether they feel it or not, everyone is weary, heavy laden with the burden of sin. Again, as we think of Nancy's trials, and again, all that God persevered her through, and the blessing, indeed, of her being home in glory, it is good to compare that testimony with those who don't think that they are weary or heavy laden, those who don't think that they need Jesus, those, tragically, who are oftentimes the most successful in the world's eyes, whether that be financially, whether that be in terms of fame, or whether that be in whatever area of life you would choose. The tragedy is that they ignore what Nancy did not ignore, and it is that need to have the weight of sin taken off our shoulders and to be confronted with the blessing of, again, coming to the end of ourselves and placing our faith in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus is merciful to us and reminding us of how badly we need Him. And Nancy knew this. And again, what a wonderful testimony of how hard she worked. But again, as we got to know her as a church family, one who worked knowing that her salvation did not depend upon how hard her labors were. But indeed, she worked as one who was thanksgiving and who was eager to indeed rest in Christ. And again, in those last months, as we look at verses 28 and 29, and again, taking that burden off, and take my yoke upon you, learn from me, gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your very souls. Again, Nancy lived that out powerfully in her testimony to Bob within recent months. I'll always remember the first time that I met Bob, and it was when Marcia was pushing him in the wheelchair in the early days after that accident, after he had come out of that coma. Indeed, we had prayed for Bob as a church family and for Nancy both, and we praised the Lord for the miracle of both his waking up from the coma and then his walking again so soon, when the doctors were very, very skeptical as to if or when that would happen. But again, to see that testimony, and again, to see the love that Nancy had, bound and determined, she would say those words to Bob again and again, "I will take care of you. I will take care of you," and how hard she worked and how God blessed in terms of that. And again, as a church family, we have sought to be an encouragement to Bob and to Doug and to Linda and the family. And as we see what an encouragement they are to one another, to see how well Nancy did in terms of to the glory of God, having things in order so that when it was time for the Lord to take her home, she would continue in that testimony in terms of in thanksgiving for who she was in Christ, expressing thanksgiving and doing well by those that she loved. And that brings us again to the last verse of the text. "For my yoke is easy, and again, my burden is light." And there are two ways that we need to think upon Nancy on this night. The first one is, blessedly, that she is home. And we'll look at one last text, just in terms of the surety, that again, Nancy is in a place where she will never be tired, ever and ever again. But again, that leaves us here. And again, we have footsteps to follow. And Nancy's testimony is powerful. And again, it should have an influence. God can use it in terms of how we proceed in our testimonies now that Nancy is gone. We'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll also look at chapter 4 as well. And again, Paul is one, and again, the testimony is always the same for the saints. Again, it is hard to minister within a fallen world. And those of you who are nurses that worked with Nancy and how gifted she was within her calling and how clear that is. And again, the pictures out in the narthex, what vivid reminders those are. But again, to labor as those who have that blessing in terms of being able to be an encouragement to others. Here is Paul writing in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, and he writes this applying to all believers. "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are away at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him." And that was Nancy's aim. And now again, she is home, as we wish we would all, and we are thankful that through our faith in Jesus, we will one day all be where she is in glory. Jim Heemstra, a man in our congregation that some of you know, he's wrote a wonderful song, and it's called "Christians Never Say Goodbye." And again, as we grieve, what comfort that is, that indeed is very true. It is only for a time. And again, the Apostle Peter describes it as a little while, until at last we all are home. But again, on our side, those who are left behind for a season, again, how should we respond as a loved one is gone and home with the Lord? And again, as we grieve with hope, here is Paul's encouragement to us. He writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you." And again, there is a heritage within this family. And again, Nancy lived it out well to the glory of God. As you leave the narthex in our fellowship time, I would encourage you to go into the library that's to your right as you go in the narthex. Nancy, in the midst of all that she was suffering from, and in the midst of being in and out of the hospital, and again, had much uncertainty in terms of what the future would hold, on the Lord's days when she was here, her countenance was one of peace. And she and Bob would stay around after worship, get to know the church family, and she was very, very eager to do what she could to express thanksgiving in the church family. And so even in the midst of the trials, again, Paul describes them so vividly, she wrote in calligraphy, in beautiful handwriting, the labels for the different sections of books about Jesus and about the Bible within our library. And again, it was a testimony that she was very, very eager to give. But now that she is home with the Lord, and indeed now that we are still here, again, the blessing of continuing on in the testimony that is in continuity with Nancy's, and again, with all of those who the Lord has saved. It has been precious to get to know Doug and Linda and Bob in these recent days, and again, to see reconciliation and to see a unity there in a family, and to get to meet those of you in the neighborhood and to see how close-knit that is. It's powerful that Nancy's testimony in the last year in the church, that even as she expressed to Matt Avery as a deacon, but the Lord was preparing her indeed for this day when she would be home with the Lord. And again, as she was ready to rest, she is resting now with resting without end. But in the same way that God was preparing Nancy through all the miracles of God being healed, and again, of Nancy going to glory with Bob, having been restored to the wonderful extent that he has from that terrible accident, the Lord was preparing each of us, indeed, for this day when Nancy would be gone. There is much thanksgiving to give for Nancy's wonderful testimony at work, in the neighborhood, in her family. And again, that testimony is not gone. It is ours to give. Our faith, by God's grace, is in the same Lord that was Nancy's. And so there is mercy, there is kindness, again, there is friendship, there is family. And all these relationships carry on to the glory of Nancy's Lord. Praise God that Jesus Christ was her Lord and that He is our Lord. In His holy name, let's pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for Your great grace, and indeed for Your gracious will. We thank You that Nancy is your beloved child, is one who is home. Thank You for her eagerness indeed to be in a church family, to give glory to You in Jesus' name. And Father, thank You for the opportunity that we have to have lives and express thanksgiving for Your great grace to us, even as we praise You and thank You for Your grace to Nancy and for Bob. We do continue to pray for comfort and peace that is beyond all human understanding, but is Yours to give, and we thank You that You do. Thank You for the sweet fellowship that is here. Thank You for the unity of the Holy Spirit that binds us together. And thank You that we are unified in giving You thanks for Nancy's life. And Father, we thank You that her pilgrimage is ended, that her trials are over. Thank You that she is home, away from the body. And Father, thank You that she one day, like all of us, by Your great grace, will be glorified. And again, the weak body that is now in the dust will rise again, even as we follow in the footsteps of our Lord, who is risen, who has accomplished our salvation. Thank You that Nancy and our faith, by Your great grace, is in Him and Him alone. In His name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Please rise and turn in your hymnals to number 689 as we sing Be Still My Soul, 689 in your hymnals.
To guide the few.
serve as he has the past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know home. His voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Now, what we will do now is have a time of fellowship. This is a memorial service. It is a blessing to remember Nancy and also a blessing to celebrate her life and her testimony to us all. And so we will have the family go out first to the narthex and then follow and look and see the pictures that remind us of Nancy and share a time of fellowship for a time. Thank you in Jesus' name.